as my kids grow up, I've been able to go, no, you know what? You're not my ornament. You're not my trophy. You are nice. You.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This episode is being sponsored by SaveTheChildren.org. Save the Children believes that every child deserves a future. In the United States and around the world, they work every day to give children a healthy start in life, the opportunity to learn, and protection from harm. Right now, the coronavirus is the biggest global health crisis of our lifetime and threatens children in every way. COVID-19 has already left many children without caregivers, out of school, and exposed to violence and exploitation. Child poverty is rising. With your support, you can help children in unsafe households and help social distance learning in the face of school closures. Here are some ways you can support and make a difference. Healthy meals. $5 can provide a nutritious breakfast and a lunch for a child who usually relies on school for food. $15 can provide a precious book and STEM learning loss for those out-of-school children in need. $50 can serve 10 hungry out-of-school children with a nutritious breakfast and lunch. For more ways and how you can help the children, go to savethechildren.org/savekids. That's savethechildren.org/savekids. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast on the line. I'm very happy to have Walker Hayes. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Walker, how you doing, sir?
Art, man, I'm hanging in there. A little bit restless, but also also enjoying this time. I mean, I cannot lie. I'm fearful of getting back into the hustle someday because I'm getting pretty comfortable here at home. But thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to talk to you.
We're gonna talk about your music in a second. Of course, the main reason why I brought you on is fatherhood. But like my kids and my wife, they got me into your genre of music. And you know, now living here in North Carolina, it's like you kind of appreciate more music. I mean, I used to grow up in like hip hop and rap, and then when I worked at a classic rock station, you get inundated with different music and you appreciate it. So listening to your different songs, there's a few songs I want to touch upon because they actually spoke a lot to me. But let's talk a little bit about fatherhood first. For you, when you became a dad for the first time, what was going through your mind, sir?
I wasn't that young. I mean, when Lenny and I had my first daughter, we were like 24 or 5. And I just didn't feel old enough. You know, it was that feeling of like, hey, this is yours. Hold it. Don't break it. Drive it home. And I was like, hey, are you sure? Like, you know, you want to leave this kid with me and my wife? Man, I mean, you know, that instant wrapped feeling, especially with a daughter, was definitely present. I immediately, my father and I, you know, we haven't like discussed it, but we began to share a different bond immediately, I guess, just because there was a level of understanding that was just like a book just handed into your lap. It's like, I didn't get a manual to having kids, but I got a manual to understanding where my father came from.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, man, I was really apologetic to my father-in-law, I guess, especially having a daughter first. I was like, whoa, man, I really get it. Like, I get it, what it must have felt like when I came along, you know, and he and I kind of had kind of a tumultuous relationship. But yeah, man, just, holy cow. I mean, so many things, you know, a marriage changes your life. That's for sure. You know, but having a kid, gosh, the self-evaluation that goes on and just the thought and the, you know, the things you lie in bed and stare into the dark and think about, it just changes drastically, you know, when you hold your child.
Walker, when you said like, when you kind of like stare into the dark and think about things, 100% spot on, sir. Like, I got two daughters.
Yeah.
I know you got six kids, and like, you guys are playing zone. You and your wife are playing zone defense where I'm playing man to man. But like, especially a couple things that you just said right there that I want to touch upon. Yeah. Like, you keep on thinking about so many things up, keeps you up late at night, just thinking about your kids and am I doing right? Am I doing what's best for them? All those other things. But then also, too, you mentioned the relationship you had with your father-in-law, you know, while you were dating your wife at the time. Like, I grew up, I have two older sisters, and my dad would travel a lot.
Right.
My dad was there for me. I'm not saying like he would travel a lot, but like mostly it was like my mom and my two sisters. So I kind of saw that like female perspective. And I think, you know, I always try to treat my dates respectfully. Not saying you didn't, but like, I think,
right,
for me, like having two older sisters, seeing what they went through with different, you know, dates or boyfriends, over the case maybe, I kind of was like, I was silently taking notes, right? And then when I have two daughters, it's like, all right, I want to make sure that I'm living a good lifestyle. And I feel like I am, because I love my wife, but it's like, you want to make sure that you're going the extra mile for your daughters. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And when people listen to your music, you know, it's from the heart, it's from your soul, and it's from like what you're thinking about. People can kind of get a taste of what you and your wife are looking to instill into your kids, but talk about some of the values that you and your wife are trying to raise your kids upon.
Oh man. You know, first and foremost, I became a Christian a year ago. And so that completely changed my outlook on parenthood. You know, I would say before that, I was really focused on each child's future based on their, you know, specific talents, gifts, desires and whatnot. I'm a very like, hey, if you put your mind to it, you can legitimately do anything you want. And then when I became a believer, and also, man, when I tasted success for myself, I kind of realized that, yeah, you can do anything you want in this life. But the sad reality is when you get that thing that you want, it's rarely the answer to the question you have. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I looked at my reflection in a platinum record, and I was saddened to say all I saw in that reflection was fatigue, just exhaustion, and the thought of, man, I got to do this again. Like, that's what I got to do to feed my family and to feed my ego and to feel good about myself. You know what I mean? And so, well, honestly, first and foremost, I just have to say I don't care if every one of my children live with me when they're 50. If they have a passion for the Lord and they're prayerfully, you know, living their life, somehow that's the most eternal thing I think they can be here for and living for. And so I want to know that their salvation is secure. And then second of all, I want my kids to have a level of security maybe that my wife and I didn't have, you know, and I don't really know how I give that to them. You know, a lot of times I struggle, like, you know, for my sons, do I work, or do I try to be home more often so they can actually have the presence of a father? You know, you spoke about your dad being out of town, and I had a similar situation with my father. Like, I realized as I get older, I learned a lot from him just watching him and how he loved, you know, my family. But sometimes, you know, and I would even say this to my dad, I would say, maybe I wanted you to sit there, you know, sometimes, like, maybe I wanted you to throw the ball instead of me watching you chase your dream. You know what I mean? And that's gray area where, man, I don't really have the answer. All I know is that, you know, when my kids leave the house, I want them to know I love them and I love them unconditionally. And I don't care if they're working in Costco. I don't care if they're in rehab. I don't care if they're, you know, the next Bill Gates, like, or, you know, Tom Brady. I just want them to know that my love is not based on their performance. And somehow I feel like that actually translates into confident, you know, boys and girls growing up to be young men and women that are really an asset to society and spreading the love of Jesus. I know I just babbled on and on about who God knows what, but I think that's my answer to your question.
No. You, again, I think your answer is spot on, because you said you became a Christian a year ago, and like, you have that idea of unconditional love that you've read about and you've seen about through your faith, but then you want to translate that into your, you know, your kids and your family. And I think what you said kind of towards the end, where it's like, all right, if they have that foundation that they know that they can talk to you guys and that they feel loved, I feel like they have that sense where it's like one less thing that they have to question about. And when I say one less thing, that's a huge thing that, you know, a child would probably question, like, do my parents care about me? Do they love me? And I think every parent battles with the balance of work and family. Like, how do I do that? And for you to say, kind of, you look at that platinum record and you're like, all right, what do I have to do this again or how do I go about doing this again so I can feed my family? So a lot of the weight is kind of being put on you and your wife's shoulders and making sure that you're there for your kids. So I think just you thinking about all of those things makes you a good parent. And I think that will come through in your actions with your kids. So I think they will see that, sir.
Man, I appreciate you. I love what you just said. And I've actually said that to a friend, and, you know, they were kind of questioning some of their decision as a parent. And I was like, man, hip hip hoorah to just, you know, and it's not our fault. You know, we just happen to be moved towards this, but just thinking as a parent, you know, I think my parents would admit, like, they just came from a generation that did. They didn't really question, you know, if their parents said do this, they just did it. Yeah. And they did, you know, if they worked all the time, they could justify it. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? And now we're in a generation where I think more people are going, is that right? Like, does that serve my son, you know, for me to be gone, for me to miss his baseball season, or maybe show up to a few games and make a little less money? You know, maybe that serves my child better. But just like you said, the fact that we're thinking about it is changing kids. And man, I am blown away by today's youth. They are so smart. They are so bright. They're so fun to hang with one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, I look at all of my kids and they are just so much cooler than I was at their age, you know, just baffling to me the difference in their security, their minds, their creativity, their confidence. You know, a little cocky at times, but I don't know. I would almost rather them have that just hint of arrogance, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, you know. And so I don't know. I'm just fascinated by today's youth, and I do think there's just a lot of great parenting, thoughtful parenting going on, like you said.
No doubt, man. And again, I really appreciate this conversation that we're having, and I want to approach the next question with a gentle heart. And one of the reasons why I do this podcast is to connect dads, that there are dads that are experiencing things that other dads have no idea how to even cope or think about the idea. You know, you mentioned about thinking about staying up late at night, thinking about your kids, and there are always those ideas or situations that might creep up into someone's mind about their kids and what's going to go on with them. I've talked to other parents who have lost children, and you lost your daughter Oakley a little bit after she was born. And I, you know, I appreciate you kind of talking about your family story, because other parents and other dads who have lost a child will appreciate your thoughts as well, because they can kind of, Walker felt like this too, or like, I wasn't alone in feeling that.
So right.
First of all, I appreciate your strength in talking about this. Talk a little bit about how you, because as dads, and I'm not saying trying to be a stereotype or throwing a stereotype
yeah.
out there, dads kind of want to be that rock for the whole family. So talk a little bit about how you stayed strong for your family, but how were you able to grieve in the own way you could do it, just so you could process what had happened, sir, when your daughter Oakley passed away?
Wow. Well, when we lost Oakley, so Oakley was a stillborn. My wife carried Oakley 9 months, longer than she had carried any of our children. She was our seventh, and super healthy. Everything was going great. And then my wife went into labor, and we lost the heartbeat about, you know, 30 or so minutes into the labor. And then it was a rush to the hospital, you know, emergency delivery. And then they took my wife away and basically performed the C-section. And then the you know, my wife was in surgery, and then the nurse or the doctor came to me and said, hey, you know, it's a girl. We tried to resuscitate, but we couldn't. And, you know, I was in that room, and Lainey was in surgery for much longer. Actually, my wife really almost didn't make it. It's a miracle she's still here. And so, yeah, man, I mean, so began pretty much the hardest thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I up until then in my life, I got to say, you know, honestly, most hurt I was able to deal with. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a recovering alcoholic. When we had Oakley, I had been sober for 3 years. I'm not drinking, but what I'm saying is, when we lost Oakley, that was the first pain I'd ever felt in my life that I knew immediately, you know, I knew I have no remedy for that. You know, I don't know what to do with this anger, you know, and this, yeah. this frustration, this confusion. You know, I remember going home and asking my in-laws to step outside, and just, you know, my kids thought dad was coming home to tell us all about, you know, our new baby, and I, you know, I had to sit them down, and man, I just broke down. And really, you know, I got to say, you know, maybe I felt the need, you know, to try to mask it, be strong, and help everybody get through. But man, I mean, I think I would tell anybody, you know, in that same situation, first off, I had to just let go of that. Like, you know, one of the greatest lessons I think my children will ever learn from me is that there are things in life that we're not equipped to shoulder. Like, yeah, you can make it through, and there is hope and there is redemption coming for you. But like, you know, a father is not supposed to lose a kid. Yeah. A mother is not supposed to have a stillborn. So it is, it's not like, hey, let's put this on a backpack and carry it on. You know, that's just not what you do. Like, and that was alarming to me, you know, is that all of a sudden it was like, no, you're going to have to grieve. You can't pocket this feeling. You can't work it away. You can't smile and just fake it. I had a near real close call with kind of jumping off the wagon at that point, because I just, the day we buried Oakley, I've just never been so mad, man. Just watching that box disappear and me and my sons putting dirt on it. You know, I mean, we shoveled the dirt, filled up the hole, you know, and just the emptiness that I felt that day was, it was unreal. And that day, actually, this is crazy. That day that we buried Oakley, I got in my car and just drove, and I was driving to a bar in downtown Franklin. And man, this sounds crazy. If you knew me really well, you would get it. But I just wanted to get in a fight. I drove. I wanted to get in a fight. I wanted to get drunk and just get in a fight and get arrested. I just had that self-destructive thing just welling up inside me. And I got all the way to this bar, and I opened my door, and my wallet is always in my car door, and it was not there. And so I drove back home. And when I walked inside, I just broke down, and I told my wife, I said, Lainey, you know, these were my intentions. This is what I was going to do. And she actually found me an AA meeting, and I went to this AA meeting, and the first guy that got up and spoke, he basically gave his testimony, and he said, I was angry. And he just went on and on about his issues with anger. And man, I left that meeting, and that meeting really helped me out. But I guess what I'm saying is there's no remedy. There's no like, this is how I got through it. I just grieved, you know? Yeah. And that was the beauty of my family and the strength of my wife, is that she and I grieved in completely different directions. You know, I think when you lose a kid, I think what happens is you and your spouse, you're both in a car wreck at the same time, but the wreck is completely different because you're both looking at it just from completely different perspectives. You know, I'm looking at my wife saying, oh man, how could I have fixed this from this point of view? And then she's looking at it like, how could I have made these decisions? And, you know, Lainey, her grief is typically sadness. You know, and my grief was just rage and anger and frustration at the world. And so, you know, we really had to give each other a lot of forgiveness, and we had to understand each other. Cause you know, I think a lot of times when you are grieving, which way are you looking? You're usually looking inward. You're usually going, I lost a kid. My sons and daughters won't have their seventh kid. My wife, you know, lost a kid. It's, you know, you look at it as my house, and then you rarely go, hey, she lost it too. And my mom and dad lost their grandkid, and my in-laws lost their grandkid and almost lost their daughter, you know? And so if you begin to think how everyone else is affected, you begin to focus less on, hey, myself. And that, I think that's encouraging sometimes to go, hey, you know, I can have some forgiveness and I can have some compassion here and not so much self-loathing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of other people were affected by this. And so that, you know, that also helped us too. But man, time really healed us. You know, Oakley would have been two on June 6th. And I will tell you, man, get around this birthday time and things just get weird at the house. Like emotions flare in really unexpected ways. And, you know, I say that just because I want anybody experiencing anything like that to not have to feel the need to pretend or to feel like it's abnormal. You know, a guy told me one time, he said, the pain of losing a kid, it's like that song, It Is Well. It has a line that says, you know, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And he says, you know, the pain, the sea billows are always the same size. When they hit you, they clobber you, but they get further and further apart as time goes on. And that's the truth, too. And, man, but I could go on. I mean, I'll probably get emotional as I try to articulate what I'm about to say, but, you know, by the grace of God, I honestly can say, and I say this to give hope to anybody out there, I can say that I wouldn't go back and change what happened. I know, you know, I want to meet my daughter. I want to have another kid. You know, sadly we can't have any more, and I want to. But man, the ways in which the Lord has redeemed my house, my soul, just everything about the situation, I wouldn't for one second go back and undo. You know, that tragedy. It is just blossomed so much hope and redemption in our house, you just wouldn't believe it.
First and foremost, Walker, again, I'm sorry for your loss. And again, I appreciate you sharing that, because you said a lot of things that I think people can hopefully, if they experience the same thing you did, how they should not follow like this playbook, right? They should just grieve the way they want to. And then also to remember that other people are grieving different ways, especially a husband and a wife, like you just mentioned, where there's certain things you got to kind of queue up on and being like, I might be feeling anger, she might be feeling sadness. So we're coming at this at two different levels or two different angles. And like, again, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you sharing this. Man, there's so many things that I want to kind of talk about and just kind of, you know, ask you more about this, but I want to talk about other things, because there are certain things in your songs, like the song Chapel, right? Like you wrote a great letter to your child, and I love the message you put in that song, because one of the things you mentioned about generations, like our generation right now, our generation is different from our parents' generation, because we didn't want them to, like, you don't have to go into the family business. Maybe your kids will have a passion of writing music, but you're not going to put guitars in all their hands, be like, all right, guys, for, you know, every day we're going to do, you know, we're going to start practicing chords and this is it, you know, be a songwriter just like me. I think there was that idea of like, you got to follow the family footsteps, but Chapel is such a well-written song and beautifully put together. And any parent, whether you're a father or a mother, you can see where you're coming from, Walker. Like, it's just, I love that song, man. Talk a little bit about that song and how fatherhood has helped you in songwriting.
And dude, it just Chapel was literally, he is the Lord's gift of a first son, man. And y'all was just the quintessential. You know, I had a daughter, it was a boy, number two, man, I was ready. I mean, I'm talking about, like, I was ready to go down to Dick's Sporting Goods and just fill up carts of just guy stuff, you know, just pass on. I was ready to start teaching him the flex offense that I ran in high school. You know what I mean? Like, I was so geared up, man, like clipboard and everything. And man, Chapel just came out, and he was just such a unique kid. And man, it breaks my heart, honestly, to remember our relationship at first. I mean, honestly, I'll get emotional again. Just, I looked at him like I needed to change something about him, you know, because he didn't have that zeal for certain things that I did. It was almost like I wasn't ashamed of my son, but I was obviously ashamed enough to want to make him love certain things, you know. And for that, you know, I beg him to forgive me when I try to impress myself upon or live vicariously through him. But man, also I got to give myself a break because that's just human, you know? And whether you like it or not, when we have kids, it's a selfish endeavor. I mean, we don't have kids for our kids. We have kids for us, you know? And what's been great is that as my kids grow up, I've been able to go, no, you're not my ornament. You're not my trophy. You are
nice.
You.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? And,
exactly.
And yeah. Man, Chapel is an unreal kid. I mean, he's 50 times smarter than I will ever be. He's witty. He's freaking creative as all get out. He's hilarious.
And he can fix your PlayStation, like too, when it's broken.
He can, yeah, like the song says. But, you know, he and I had some funny moments where, you know, I took him to his first. The song is based on his first basketball practice and just how I just wanted him so bad to fall in love with the sport and eat, sleep, and breathe it. And we could talk basketball. And after his first practice, I said, man, dude, tell me all about it. Like, let's go from beginning to end. What did you think? And he literally said, Dad, did you know that there are, you know, I forget the number. He said, did you know that there are 372 light bulbs in that scoreboard? And I was like, and that was it. I was like, you know what, man? I never thought of that. I never would have thought of that. I've never looked at a scoreboard to see anything but the score. And it just showed me how different our minds were. And it really began, honestly, that night, I began to see how beautiful my son was despite our differences. And, man, it has changed our life in our house. I mean, you know, now I have three sons. And they are night and day. They love all different types of things. Obviously, I have one and a half that like the things that I do. But I dare say I'm more intrigued by the others. I've really come to have something special with all the children that are different than me. And so that was a good, man. Chapel was one of the best lessons in fatherhood that we ever had.
Oh, for sure. Like that song was just fantastic. And there's that, you know, that one line in "My love can reach you, Chapel, little apple as far as from the tree." And like, that's just like that every time I hear that in the chorus, I'm like, man, that is brilliant,
yeah.
Man, because
Chapel,
oh
yeah. Little apple fall as far from the tree. That was the first one because, man, I mean, you know, you can see
such a brilliant line.
I don't know, man. Kids are smart. You know, they know when a parent looks at them and thinks, kind of wish you weren't so you, you know, and that you do not, you can't feel that from your dad, and you're going to, you know, that's going to happen. No parent is perfect. I love that song. And I tell you too, man, that song gets Chapel. I mean, he gets a little emotional. He's 12. You know, that song has really been an awesome little thing for us, for sure.
I love it. And one of the songs too, and you kind of mentioned it when you were talking about Oakley, where it's like, I wish I could drink, right? And one that line is like, I'd love to have a beer with my kids when they get old enough to have it. I'm paraphrasing, right? But like, you again, talk about, you know, that song and like how you're sharing your journey with your kids so they know where you're coming from. So I just love that. And another song that really, really got to me, because I think you know this as well as I do, you can have a great relationship with your kids, but you also want to show a great relationship with your spouse. One of the songs, we're going to talk about another song too in a minute, Trash My Heart, and the way the fans kind of did their own videos for that. But like, I just got to say,
right,
Don't Let Her, man. I'm getting goosebumps just like I had with Chapel. Don't Let Her, man. Wow. Like, I look at my wife and I was just thinking, because we met in college and I never really,
right,
my dates were like maybe going to dates here and there, but never had a steady girlfriend until her. And everything that you were saying, like, I think every couple does this, right? There's songs that like you think about your spouse or your girlfriend, whatever the case may be, but that love letter to her is so powerful. There were certain things that I could have equated to my relationship with my wife, but I think this song is so great for not just for your wife and showing it like how much you care and love her, but like also your kids will see this and being like, look at the way dad is talking about mom, right? And how great of a way to show your love for her, the unselfish love, because like if you like the song, the for people who have not checked it out, I highly definitely recommend people to check this out. I'm guessing people have. And go to walkerhayes.com. Of course, we'll put up links on where people can find you on social media, but Don't Let Her is such a great song because the idea is like if you pass away, you want her, you know, like she's like, I'm never going to fall in love again, but you want her to fall in love and you're kind of giving us, you know, the do's and don'ts to the fellow, you know, the person who might date your wife, right? After you pass away.
Right.
So, it just shows like all the things you think about her. And I think women appreciate guys thinking about that. So what is your whole family? Cause you mentioned the song Chaplain with your son. It's a great, you know, bond that you have, but talk about like, do you guys, I'm guessing you might, I don't know, maybe you do or don't, but like, I think that's a great example of showing love to your wife, to your spouse. Do you guys talk about the family and just about that song and the importance of that song? Because I think it's such an important song, sir.
Yeah, you know, back to the Wish I Could Drink and that song, you know, as a combo, I'm just a huge, humongous advocate of saying what you're thinking in those little moments where you might not voice what's going on in your mind. And both of those songs are great examples. And just to address Wish I Could Drink, man, my kids know every deep, dark secret of mine when it comes to addiction. And the reason, you know, maybe I told them too much and maybe we'll see the repercussions of that. But, you know, my wife and I are very honest about ourselves in high school, mistakes we made. And I am definitely vocal about, you know, the alcohol thing just because I want them to be educated. I want them to know exactly what can happen. I want them to know what it's like to literally hold on to a hotel bed because if you let go, you might go down to the lounge. You know what I mean? I don't want to freak them out or make them afraid of beer, but I just want them to know what can happen. And I feel like that will serve them later. You know,
yes.
I feel like we came, you know, talking about generations, I feel like we came from, hey, shove that under the rug and walk it off, you know,
which rub some dirt on it, right?
You know, yeah, exactly. Rub some dirt, throw some toilet paper over some newspaper and just walk away. Like, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, even my dad would know that didn't do me any favors. You know, like knowing that, you know, thinking that my dad was like Superman, that did not help me with alcoholism battles or any other battles I've struggled or losing Oakley. It was not helpful to think, hey, my dad could have just shrugged this off. And the truth is my dad couldn't, you know, I just never saw it. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm kind of readjusting and maybe overcorrecting, but trying to be honest with my kids. And they get to see this in the music. You know, obviously they listen to these songs and they go, oh, wow, Dad, you know, are you just going to drink a water with me when I turn 21? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you know, are you going to be mad if I drink a beer underage? And I'm like, well, let's talk about it. You know, so my music definitely sparks really good conversations. And as far as Don't Let Her, that's just another one of those things that I know every man and woman has thought about. You just, you know, depending on your level of communication, whether it's a small path or a highway, maybe you've never voiced that, but I would be just so just, you know, wherever we go after this life, I mean, if you get a window back to the world, if you were to leave the love of your life, I know there would definitely be some bittersweet hurt, but I'm pretty sure there's no sin where we go. So you can't be jealous and you would just want your wife to be happy. You know, if you left, you would not want her to be just paralyzed by grief, and you would want your kids to see your mother, their mother love again. And so that's what Don't Let Her is about. And honestly too, Don't Let Her it has a lot of, not self-deprecation, but like relationship deprecation. It's like, hey, yeah, we had something amazing, but I also know what makes you mad, you know? And there's no way I couldn't know that unless we got in fights a lot, you know? And so I think it's an honest, like, I love great movies that show you humor and sadness. You know, a lot of my friends make fun of me because I've read every single thing that Nicholas Sparks has ever written. And I don't think, like, I don't think Nicholas Sparks has this, like, I don't know, brain, the way he just understands life better than anyone else. But there's always really, really a lot of brokenness. And then there's a lot of redemption and romance and just passion, you know. And I, you know, to me, that's what Don't Let Her is. It's like, God, I love you so much, but I also know that you're insecure about your legs, and you get really pissed when I say, hey, you're acting like your mom, you know? And it's just, I love the honesty and the furniture of life that that goes on, you know, those conversations that you have when you're driving home from the restaurant from date night, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, like those snapshots of life intrigue me more than anything. And that's kind of like the chapel song. Like that's what me and my wife talk about after the kids go to bed, is like, man, I need to be better. I need to be a better dad to chapel. He's feeling the pressure to, you know, practice harder. And I want him to know that I don't care if he doesn't love basketball, you know? And then it's like, well, I'll go write a song about it, you know, and I'll tell him exactly how I feel about him, you know. And that's the same thing with Don't Let Her. It was I miss you, this is how much I miss you, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I was out of town, but man, I appreciate all the insights. I mean, I love hearing you talk about my music more than I love talking about it.
So again, there's another question that's going to follow with that, is because I always love talking to people who are very creative like yourself, whether it's a stand-up comedian, whether it's a, you know, someone who writes a movie or a book, whatever the case may be. But for you, musicians
right.
tell a story through their song and their words. And yeah, like I said, like Chapel, Don't Let Her, I Wish I Could Drink, all of those songs where you're like, you said, like snapshots of life and like having those conversations and having like your, you know, your kids are like, oh, you know, would you be upset if I had a beer before I turned 21? Like, all right, let's talk about these. Are again, you said that you might be way too open on your songs with your kids, but you're sharing this and like you're giving them your own blueprints to your life, and so to help them out. So I love it. And I know we talked about fatherhood and about like how, you know, songs are crafted like Chapel, but I'm just very curious about your own creative process. Is it different from song to song, album to album? Like nowadays, you know, you have that phone. If you have a melody or you have some words, you can just like speak it into your phone and just keep it there or write some notes down. Like talk a little
right.
bit about your creative process, if you wouldn't mind.
So the first spark of light of any conception of anything I create is always a text to myself. And I have an ongoing text chain with myself that's 100 years old. And man, I'm a stubborn soul, you know, as far as my creativity is concerned. Like I will have this argument to the death that it's all been written. A lot of people say, hey, it's all been written, it's all been done. I refuse to believe that. I will never, you know, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think the same thing goes for a football player. Every play has not already been done. You can still innovate. Something new will come along, and you can either be the one who invented it or you can be the one who copies it or whatever. But I encourage my kids, seek those creations, those ideas that are original, because mm-hmm. it has not already been done and it will not ever be, you know what I'm saying, unless you do it. And so I seek those ideas, and man, when they come, I just text myself. Like right now, you know, I'm working on a few things, but it all starts with, you know, the first thing with Chapel was the chorus, you know, Chapel, little apple, fall as far from the tree as you need to, my love can reach you. And you know, with Don't Let Her, it was the chorus. Usually it's the chorus, but it's always words. I don't say that I'm a real melodic guy like you. I grew up, you know, I think one of my first concerts was the Beastie Boys.
Nice.
And so like, So I'm like through and through, I'm like white hip hop. Like I just love, I mean, I love all freaking hip. I mean, I learned every word to all of Tupac's albums.
Oh, God. Stop, man. Stop like, right here. Here we go.
Yeah, his double CD, like, lived in my truck for, you know, 2 years. I listened to a band called Kilo.
Yeah.
Two Live Crew. I remember my parents, they
oh my
got
gosh.
In my car one day, and Two Live Crew was in it, and they thought that something was wrong with me. They were like, what are you listening to? And but man, I just loved hip hop. I loved the beats. And then I eventually got into country music because somebody played me a Tim McGraw song called Don't Take the Girl. And the words of that song just blew my mind. And but man, I creatively, it's always words for me. And it's just, it's like, does the subject matter, do I need to express it? Do I have that need? Like, do I have to say this? Is kind of, you know, where it comes from. And then occasionally, like You Broke Up With Me or Trash My Heart, I just need to have some fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of, I have two sides of my creativity. There's one that says, I am going to exhaust myself over every line, and this song is going to basically be like a book inside my soul. And then I have one side that's like, I don't care, let's just dance, you know.
great sides to have, man. I love that. And again, Tupac, like, I fell in love with his stuff when he was on Digital Underground, and he had that song, like, he like had his first, you know, debut with Same Song. You know, he rapped, and
yeah.
Of course, like you mentioned, All Eyes on Me, like, same thing, double album. I thought I was cool. I was like a DJ and all that other stuff in college. I, you know, have records
yeah.
and stuff. So buy those albums. But I'd say, like, for me, one of my favorite Pac albums of all time is Me Against the World. Like, that was just kind of like, I wouldn't say peak Pac, but like, that was him
yeah.
like getting on the rise, because like Temptations, all of these songs were just fantastic in the way he was writing them. So I really appreciate that. And you mentioned Trash My Heart. That's like, you know, your latest right now. A lot of people are digging it. A lot of people are digging it so much that they created videos to kind of follow your lead. You've been doing this for a bit. You understand that, yes, you do have fans, but to see that, you know, love of your music and the passion that you have, they kind of brought it right back to you. So talk a little about how cool it was to see your fans kind of create the, you know, the videos for Trash My Heart, because it's a great song.
Oh, man.
And like, just talk about that experience.
I was a laughable sight when somebody should have videoed me watching that video that they made, because I was just beaming, just smiling, because I know these people. I mean, these are fans that I see all the time. I mean, they've all been to 30 shows plus. They sit on the front row. When I forget words, I literally look at some of them and I'm like, hey, do you remember, what's the first line of this second verse? And they'll help me, you know, get going. And so, man, to see them and their beautiful family, that was one of my favorite things, is that there was no age demographic in that remake video. It was like kids, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, teenagers, college kids. You know, it was everybody. And the joy on my face as I watched that was indescribable. I mean, my eyes were filled with tears. It was one of those laugh, like real heavy laugh, but also cry moments, because also I received it, you know, I received the copy of their compilation when right after shows had been canceled.
Yeah.
And so it really hit me. It was like, man, it's gonna be a while till we're all together again. But man, that's what it's all about, man. I mean, honestly, I'm super fortunate to have those friends. And I hate the word fans, because that's not, they're more than that. I mean, those people, they know my kids. You know, there's several people that they've watched my kids grow up.
Yeah.
They've walked with us through losing Oakley.
Mm.
They've walked with me through getting sober, and then you know, finding Jesus. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how loyal, they're really family. And so to watch them do that video, but yeah, it really crushed me. And then I got to where I could watch it, you know, without getting emotional, and it's pretty freaking hilarious. as I watch it now. But yeah, it's, man, it's just a joy. I honestly, you know, even talking to you, I just want everybody to know, like, I didn't think all this would come of writing songs. I mean, I just love to write music, man. I mean, if I lived under a bridge, like next to a fire in a barrel, like I would still write songs and I wouldn't really, like, I'd be okay. Yeah. And I just cannot understand sometimes the relationships that have grown from my career, the where life has taken me with music, how, you know, I'm talking to you and all I did, you know, we talked about a song about my 12-year-old son. I mean, it's fascinating to me that this is my occupation, and that I can just, you know, I can write about my son and share that with the world. And it's, and then I can, you know, I can write a song like Trash My Heart. And then all these people that I know, you know, can remake a video. It's crazy.
Well, again, like something that's going to be parallel to kids and fatherhood and just being around kids. That's similar to when you create music. I think, you know, this too, like if you're authentic, people will see that. If you're authentic to your kids and if you're like, and if kids like see you and like, they can kind of tell if you're real or if it's kind of, you're acting kind of faked or like putting on a fake smile, like kids can kind of see through that. Right. And
Right. Just
even if no one has a chance, and I have the great privilege of talking to you about fatherhood and your music and all that, but like for people to see your music, they know it's authentic because one, you write it, like your creative process you just kind of talked about. But even before that, like they can see that you actually have a passion for your music. It's not just something that, you know, it's like, I'm going to write about this because sure, why not? Like you have, a reason for your music and it shows. I think authenticity matters and it comes through your music, man.
Well, thanks for saying that. Sometimes I wish, sure, my label, you know, I love my label. I love Monument Records and I love Sony. And I'm sure sometimes they're like, yo, can you just give us like a love song that's not about you dying? You know, or, you know, can you give us a song where you don't say your kid's name and it's a weird name like Chapel or, you know, and things like that. But, you know, they bear with me. And like you said, man, the reason I have a job is really just because I dare to be authentic. And I just have something in my brain that forces that. And I try to encourage it, man. I mean, to men, women, children, you know, I truly think authenticity helps the world. I mean, it relaxes people. You know, even my wife, when we have people over, it's almost like she tries to make the house messy so that the woman who walks in the house, her shoulders just sink and she goes, ah, your house is a mess too, you know? And that's kind of what I want to do with my life. And even through this podcast, I hope there's some dad going, this guy's freaking insane. Well, I'm insane too. And so I guess it's okay. You know, that's what I want people to do through the when they hear me do anything, you know?
No doubt, man. I really appreciate it. This was a great conversation. We're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, age range might be different because you got, you know, six kids, so it might be tough, but favorite family movie, you guys, do you guys have one?
Shoot. You know, Emperor's New Groove is that's a crowd pleaser. My kids, sometimes they say I remind them of Kronk, and I take that as a huge compliment. I love to do the, squeak, squeakity, squeak, squeaking, squeaking, you know, Emperor's New Groove is cool because I got to pass that to them. They, nice. You know, that's animation way back, but they love that.
Love it. And this is going to be hitting your wheelhouse. The second question is favorite family song. You guys like to sing and dance to as a family. Other than you can put in your songs if you want to, but is there something you guys all groove to right now?
Yeah, you know, I will say like the family, like the whole family will go absolutely bonkers if you play, you're going to laugh at this, but it's, give me that donkey butt and them big old legs. I ain't too high. They freaking love that. Let me ride that donkey. Like that is huge in our house. And, I know it's dirty. I know I'm not teaching my kids anything good or wholesome, but that song will light everybody up. But I'll say a current one, right now is,
so good.
Oh, another Lifetime one is Queen Under Pressure. Oh. Everybody loves that. And then but a new one is Justin Bieber's Intentions. Okay. Everybody's jamming on that. And then there's also a Jonas Brothers song, the I Can't Trust Myself When I'm Around You. Everybody loves that one.
Nice. Love it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I know we're kind of all doing the social distancing thing, but when you can go on a family vacation, describe the perfect one. Where would it be?
Oh, you know, man. Shoot. Family, just everybody. Everybody, you're going to laugh, dude. You're going to laugh so hard. We are not like real high class vacationers. Like, we like to keep it red and cheap and very, I don't know, just low budget.
Yeah.
And my kids love the Great Wolf Lodges.
Nice.
And so
the Magic Quest tours, man. The Magic Quest tours, they're legit, right?
Dude, it's the greatest. Give me that magic wand and I'm good for like 6 hours. I will go all through that hotel with like a 4-year-old and I'll be just fine. Give me a cup of coffee and that magic wand and I'm good. But no, we one time we had I had a gig in Lake Erie of all places, Sandusky, Ohio, and they put us up in a Great Wolf Lodge, and dude, it was just fun for the whole family. And it, you know, Disney World and places like that are more extravagant, and there's a lot busier or whatever. But and then, man, I'd say honestly, we just love the beach. You know, like we'll kick it on the beach any day. I mean, I wish I was there right now.
Yeah. Nice, man. Love that. Such a great fatherhood answer right there, Great Wolf Lodge. I got to say, as a sneakerhead, some of your videos, man, you're rocking some fantastic sneakers. So are you a sneakerhead? Because especially in Trash My Heart, man, you're rocking some really cool Air Jordan 1s. So
yeah,
talk a little. Are you a sneakerhead? And if so, do you have a favorite sneaker?
Yeah, I do. So here's the deal. I'm a sneakerhead, but I'm also like, I don't like to spend money. And I don't know what happened to me, but like, I have this thing where, like, if I go to a store and I try on some shoes, when I go to the desk, you're going to laugh, but I literally get nauseous because I start being like, hey, this is, you know, this is 4 trips to Sonic for the whole family. And I'm just like, I just want to wear these shoes really bad. So I usually put them back and I'm like, peace, you know, I don't need these shoes. But there's a pair I love sneakers, and the ones that you see me wearing like in videos, I gotta out my label. I mean, they bought those.
Nice.
So I didn't like come out of pocket for that collection, but there's a pair that I dream of, and I've argued with my wife because I've almost pulled the trigger as like a, hey, I don't care what you think, I'm just gonna spend our money on this. But I haven't, and it's the it's the D Brown
pumps,
the black Reebok pumps with the orange ball. I found one unopened pair that were a size 12, maybe like 2 years ago, and they were like $350. And she was like, no, I ain't doing it. Like, she was like, no way. And I almost just was like, I don't care. Like, we can split up for a little while. I'm just going to buy these shoes. But, man, I didn't pull the trigger, but those are my like favorite ones. And then, I'm trying to think, there's another, I had them in high school. They were like these silver and gray Air Maxes that were like multi-toned. And I've seen them in like gold and, you know, they've kind of been bringing those back, but I love an Air Max.
Thinking about the Air Max 95s, I love that. That's awesome, man.
Yes, yeah.
Very cool. Thanks very much for sharing that. And lastly, top 3 words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Oh, man. Loving, you know, passionate. Yeah, how many words do I get?
3.
Just one? Like,
3.
3 words?
Yeah, so loving, passionate.
You know, just... You know, I hope they say, you know, I want my kids to say he loved the Lord. That's it. You know, I mean, I think with that resonates just an unconditional love for them. I mean, that's it. That's all I got. I mean, nice, I don't. Man.
No, you know, I appreciate that. Like, there's no, there's with this one, I know sometimes it's always the last question. It's up to people like, wow, you hit me with a hard one right before we go.
And yeah, no.
But the thing is, like, there's no wrong answer. Like, there is completely no wrong answer. So it just depends on how you feel as a dad, and you shared it. So I appreciate that, Walker. Thanks.
Right.
People, make sure you follow Walker on Twitter and Instagram at Walker Hayes, and go to his website, walkerhayes.com, for music like Trash My Heart, Don't Let Her, Chapel. I know it's kind of a weird time right now, and I know you were talking about, you know, can't wait to see your extended family, as we would call them. But again, I appreciate the time, continued success in the future, and I really, really appreciate your music and your take on fatherhood, sir.
All right, man. Thank you for having me. This has been a joy.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.